What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
I mean, what is your idea of, you know, the perfect Christmas?
The perfect holiday?
Dude, that's such a good... We were talking about it today because my family's coming to LA for the first time. They've never been. And by the time we get there, it'd be like December 20th. And we're like, are we going to get a tree? And for me, I am a Christmassy person where I like the bells and whistles. Not necessarily the gifts, but just the decorations, the cookies, the movies, yeah, the fireplace. Like, I'm that guy.
I don't know, that Hallmark Christmas.
I do.
Yeah, S Club 7 has a song called Perfect Christmas.
I'm already
that I've listened
offended.
To for
I don't know,
maybe 20 years now. and honestly, when I think of what the perfect Christmas is, I think of what that song makes me think of, which is like which is very Hallmark Christmas. Like me, I'm wearing every winter item I could have. You know, I got the matching gloves. I got the hot cocoa. You know, me and my lady snuggling up together. Snow is outside. We in a cottage. You know what I'm saying?
Like, has this ever happened perfect Christmas to you? Or
no, it's never happened. But that's the perfect.
Make it happen.
Or a like blanketed. You know, like I specifically think of New York City, yeah, blanketed snow, you know, blanketed New York City in the snow,
New York,
you know,
covered
in snow. But still with the matching hats and the gloves and the, you know, and we snuggling up together with the hot chocolate.
That's I do like some hot chocolate and some marshmallows in that hot chocolate.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm
okay. I know what you're talking
you
about.
Get a Christmas
I know what you're talking
tree.
About.
You know, got to get some stockings up, got to get some presents under that tree, make it look real nice.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I prefer multicolored Christmas lights. Not the lights would be all
agree.
The same amber.
I agree.
And
prefer that multicolored.
We had the perfect string of lights where it had a bunch of different settings, but there was one setting that was like, it was like a warm glow and they would like kind of like fade in, like spiral fade mm-hmm. in and fade out. And then that to me, oh man, it makes me all warm and cozy inside. Just think about it, you know, play a little Christmas music.
Yeah. I like to play TLC. A very Merry Christmas and a happy new year. See, people forget about that. All the joy of holidays gives you lots of great cheer, you know? I like Mariah too, but you know, there's some other jokes out there, baby.
You know, you just want a song that has some heart.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It has a little bit of soul. Yeah. Okay.
Where okay, somebody, what you talking about? What you about
you
to say?
You know,
what's
you gotta up? Get a little, you gotta get a little feeling. You know.
All right. Uh-oh. Okay, I feel it. My shoulder's going. My shoulder's going.
It's something that goes a little bit like this.
Ooh.
I'm sitting around the tree.
What is this?
Looking at all the presents, what could they be? I don't know, but I do know one thing. This is the perfect holiday. Santa's coming down.
Okay, you know what? We got it. We got it. We got it. Yeah.
Elves are dancing above me. I don't know why they're dancing, but what I do know,
we don't.
This is
we
the
could.
Perfect holiday.
I think.
Are you Bing Crosby singing it? Are you Dean Martin or are you Bing Crosby?
Melodies.
Which one is it?
Okay, Melissa, we're going to start. We're going to cut him off right here, Melissa. Just remember, this part right here is when he goes.
Right next to me is my boo. We snuggle up all
cruise. It doesn't even rhyme.
He's got some hot.
He screams into the night.
All I know is this is the perfect holiday.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump. In
Hollywood. Black X, man. All right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Okay, which song you talking about? You talking about Where the Ho-Ho-Ho's At? Or which song is it? Which song gonna go on the album? Okay.
That one right there.
You talking about this one? Mm-hmm. This one right here? You talking about... I don't remember another name of the song.
I
saw mommy capping Santa Claus. That's the one you want to do.
I mean, that was the best joke of the movie.
The way he would subtly just like squeak out a thing of like, it's nothing. It's just our careers and our livelihoods.
Yeah. I self-respect. Like he would just go down and listen. Just, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Quietly talking about how his life is going to end.
What was
because
the budget
of this?
On this movie?
For those of you who are listening for the first time, this voice that has merry cheer and rotund
runs
joy that echoes through your soul is Jonathan Braylock.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And this voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
I'm sorry, Gerard just very silently
said that's what it was.
But the voice got to run. Why are you specifically all right, this voice and this voice is James the Third.
You went high pitch, but then you went low. What was going on there?
Exactly, because I was like, I diverted, you know.
Oh,
Christmas is about surprises.
I respect that, James. The budget was $20 million. No,
the budget for this film. Yeah, I mean, look how many people were in it. Of course, the budget was $20 million.
This budget is
How much were they paying everybody?
Budget.
No way, dude.
Is that a good Charlie Murphy? I just practiced that. I haven't tried it. What about this? This is good. Is that kind of sound like a little bit?
No, it's not great. So
come on, it's like a little like him, though, right?
Everyone, this is a film review podcast, okay? We review the films of leading black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
I'm going to keep working on it throughout
the episode. Yeah, you do that.
This was a perfect holiday. That's how it should have went.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Why you got to sing the white boy song in here?
Perfect holiday.
And perfect holiday will be so perfect. For me.
It's something like that, right? Like, because he has like a his voice is kind of like is
that's how the Christmas songs go. It's Mariah and then Chris Breezy, he up there, he in like top five, you know.
But do you mean his version of this Christmas or a different? Does he have a different song?
Did Chris Brown not come? Is that a remake?
Joe, I know Joe sings.
Didn't he do it
Christmas? I thought Chris Brown.
I feel like everybody did this Christmas.
Is that not? Did he not
but
invent
Joe,
that song?
Joe's... No. This Christmas has been around for a while. I feel like Joe's This Christmas is the one that I like the most. Holy crap. Do you know that This Christmas and the movie that we are reviewing today, The Perfect Holiday, came out in the same year?
That sounds about right.
They both came out in 2007.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Wow,
they
that's
were
crazy.
Dueling Christmas movies. The Perfect Holiday stars Morris Chestnut and Gabrielle Union.
And Charlie Murphy.
I can never say Charlie Murphy, like Cat Williams, Faison Love, Terrence Howard, and Queen Latifah, which I think is what attributed to.
Yes,
it's.
What's the actress's office. Name that I used to be? Rachel India True. She was in The Craft, Half Baked. I used to think growing up she was like the coolest, most beautiful woman ever. Because I remember seeing The Craft and thinking like, this man, I loved her in The Craft.
Ooh.
Loved.
Sorry, I just looked up the box office for Perfect Holiday.
I skipped it. I didn't say it on purpose. You ain't got to do this. You ain't got to do this.
Oh, man.
You ain't got to do
this. This movie only made $5.
Don't do that.
$1 million. It cost $20 million. It made $5.8 million.
$5.8 million.
Let me tell you. And this
How much
Christmas?
Is this Christmas? How much did that make?
That joint made $49 million.
Damn. And it cost less to make. How did this movie cost so much?
And it cost $13 million to make. It had less stars at the time, I would say. Well, I guess it's a.
Maybe they weren't.
It's interesting because it's like Idris is one of and he wasn't a star like Morris Chestnut, not then.
But
and
what about Regina
Gabrielle
King?
Union versus Regina King? That's debatable because I feel like Regina King.
I mean, Macaulay, Lauren London.
Ooh, yeah. This is a. I mean, I would say comparable casts. So
but
I
also,
know
I think
what,
the movies were just made differently. Like one,
but
like
I would say Queen Latifah. You know what I mean? Is a bigger star at the time. And you got
Did Terrence Howard win his Oscar yet, or get nominated for his
Terrence
Oscar?
Terrence had done Crash. I don't know if he did. Hustle and Flow.
Yeah,
yet.
But this movie also has like it has a big stunt in it.
What stunt?
And the freaking car.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Oh, I thought you meant stunt casting. Hustle and Flow and Crash had both come out already. So Terrence Howard and Iron Man had not come out, but Hustle and Flow and Crash.
Yeah, he probably was taking it like because he got paid like $2 million for Iron Man. Damn, that's crazy.
When did each come out? The Perfect Holiday came out in November. Oh, its release date was December 12th. This Christmas release date was November 21st. I think that's what it was. I think it just got the jump on them.
But this is my thing.
People
they look
had their
different.
Fill.
They look different. Like I genuinely was watching this movie and was like, oh man, how much money did they have? Because it looked like it was shot very cheap. It looked cheap. It looked so like the coloring of it, the color green, whereas the other one, it was bright. It looked like they put quality. I don't know. It's just the production just looked different. And
also this Christmas
they also
is
have
a sto-
mad. Like, well, they had to license a lot of music for this too. I can't remember how much music was in this Christmas, but they had to license a lot of music for this. And then there was also all of the like new music and music videos and stuff that they did.
Really?
Too.
I mean, they should have.
Like, that's a.
Was I not about to say, man? They should have got like Terrence Howard make some songs, man. You know, just come up here, get this guitar, man. And just.
Well,
I love Terrence Howard. I'm sorry. I do.
I didn't know he was in this. The second I heard him speak, I was like, oh shit, it's about
I'm
to
a
go
fan.
Down.
Like, it's so weird. Like, there's something about him which I'm like,
you know what a snowflake is, man.
Like, I thought he would have been war machine. I'm sorry. He would have been a great war machine. I'm sorry.
You eating dirt.
I mean, of course
that means you eating dirt,
okay,
man.
Question. What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes score is of The Perfect Holiday?
27.
Okay. James?
72, baby!
Okay. Do you know what? Okay, I'll tell you. This Christmas, a Rotten Tomatoes score is like 51%. Does that change your opinion?
24.
Okay. You're going to stick with the 70s?
All right. I'm going to go with this Christmas is 50 what? What is it?
This Christmas is 50. Sorry, let me see the exact 55%.
All right, this movie's. I'm gonna stay with 72. Okay. Just hear what it is.
It's 19%.
Damn.
19%.
19.
Damn.
All right. Well, let's basic plot of this film.
Damn.
Is there is a man who is a mall Santa. He has aspirations of being a songwriter, and he winds up falling in love with a woman whose ex-husband is a big-time rapper, and she also has three kids, one the oldest of which doesn't like him, and that's the movie. Oh, and he lies about being a mall Santa.
Yep.
Okay, great. Initial thoughts? Do you want me to start?
Oh, someone seems excited. Okay, Bray. Go right ahead.
Okay, Bray.
I don't think this movie deserves 19%. I feel like this movie is a nice little holiday staple. Not staple. Is a nice little holiday film that deserves at least, I would say, 58%.
Yeah, there it is. There
maybe
it
60.
58?
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Ooh,
I'm going to go 60. I'm going to give it a fresh.
It's not rotten for you.
Here's the thing. This movie is just, this is a Hallmark movie. True. And this is a Lifetime movie. But that's what some people want for Christmas. They want a nice,
absolutely,
a nice, like, happy ending thing. Two beautiful people, you know, making lovey eyes at each other. I will say this. The story tracks. There's an actual story here, you know. Cat Williams is very funny. Charlie Murphy does some funny bits. May he rest in peace. I think that, you know, this isn't the best man holiday. I will, you know, it's not that. But I liked how kind this film was in his intentions. And Terrence Howard bits were also funny with Queen Latifah, even if they don't really, it doesn't quite congeal with the movie. And I thought some of the kids' acting was really good. I actually thought the kid acting in this was pretty great, actually. I'm going to go instead and say the kid acting in this, which I don't think kid acting is usually always that good. I actually think the kid acting in this was pretty great because they were all very distinctive characters, and I kind of really believed all of them. And that even the middle kid who had the least to do, the amount of times where he would say something, what he thought, and then his older brother would say something, and then he'd be like, oh, I mean, no. I was like, that's so real. I like the kids, man. Yeah. Holiday. Perfect holiday. All right.
James, you want to go next? Want me to go next?
All right. Oh, after you,
I
sir.
Like this movie, man. I didn't like, oh, like, damn. Man, it's so funny because one of the things I think I liked the least were those kids, especially the main kid. At one point when he was like, they down there alone. I was like, yo, I know you're a kid now. I don't know. Like, I know you're a kid actor now. And the thing that sucks about it is that
they
I
gave
couldn't
him a
get
lot
over.
To do.
He had a lot, which is good, and it's good for him. I just think the thing is, like, Bray, you're right. It did have a story. I just the opening scene when I guess we're following like the snowflake, and it lands on Queen Latifah, and then she turns to face the camera.
CGI snowflake.
Yeah, all the snow I think was CGI. It had to be.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I felt bad. And I don't think that's the feeling. Like, and I legitimately felt like, oh, like I was like, oh no. Cause it felt, I know, and again, I think all those actors are wonderful. Like Queen Latifah, like I think, like I'm not coming at them. It just felt like, I didn't think they had any money. I thought like, I didn't think they had 20 million.
They
I
had
was like,
enough for that CGI snowflake
I know,
to fall.
I didn't know. I thought like, oh, they have no money. That's why it looks like this. Like, I just felt bad. And I think I felt bad throughout the whole movie
kind of like how you were saying when we reviewed, I think it was Friday After Next, when it was, you know, the movies people have to start off with, even though no one was starting. I think that's what made me sad. It's like, no one is starting off in this movie, but the movie looked so bad, and except for the kids, but it felt like, oh, they have to make this movie to work. Like, I remember one of the biggest things is, Idris Elba was saying he couldn't get a job, and that's why he did that Tyler Perry movie, because he wanted to work and get a job. And I was like, is that why they're doing this? Because they, like, no one's hiring them? I just felt bad. And I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying the movie's terrible. I just felt... watching it, it was the visuals. I think if the director might have been a little bit better or something, I'd have been like, okay, great. And that's my big thing with this Christmas. This Christmas looked like it was shot and directed better. That's why I thought that movie had more money than this movie. Like, this movie looked cheap, and I felt bad for them. I don't like the, and they had so many good people. Anyway, yeah. It wasn't my favorite, but
the director was Lance Rivera, and it looks like he's another music video director. And the only other movie he did before this was The Cookout.
Ooh, I remember.
I don't know if
that.
You remember that.
Oh, which I
do remember that.
It's a Tim Meadows.
I remember that movie, but I never.
Queen Latifah story. Ja Rule, Jennifer Lewis, Tim Meadows, Megan Good. I remember the trailer for this, but I definitely did not see this movie.
Yeah, and then they made a TV movie.
The Cookout?
Yes, yeah, same director.
The Cookout.
The sequel, Cookout 2.
Wow, The Cookout 2, 2011.
Same director. Big Boy was in this.
Why you say, wow, The Cookout 2? The way that you said it.
Oh, this is a shock.
So funny.
Charlie Murphy's in this.
The director of This Christmas is Preston A. Whitmore, and he directed... Oh, he's a writer as well. And he directed the movie The Walking Dead.
Wait, the what?
There's a movie, The Walking Dead, with Alan Payne, Eddie Griffin, Joe Morton. It's a war movie. We got to add that to our freaking list. Crossover shoot. Okay, yeah. By the time he directed This Christmas, he had two movies under his belt.
So he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
All right.
Interesting. James, what'd you think, though?
Well, I mean, I didn't love this movie, but I also don't typically consume these types of movies. And I understand that there is a market for them. I don't think this is a 19% movie as well. Like, it's just like, that is just being cruel for no reason. Like the thing for me was I had trouble connecting with the story. Mm-hmm. Like I was like those, and this also might just be a product of like having seen movies like this and being like, I never really like it when people do that. We just watched, Kat and I just watched, that movie about the catfish Christmas.
That's
movie.
The one I just watched. Love Hard.
We just watched that and it's just it
you didn't like that.
Enjoyed that as well. But I'm just talking about this specific thing of like I just have trouble connecting with like, yeah, like I'm gonna lie for for the 2-hour movie, and the whole movie is us like watching them lie and how are they gonna keep up this lie. I have trouble enjoying that. so like as the lies just kept building, it just generally makes me uncomfortable instead of being able to like kind of enjoy the farce of it or whatever, you know. That's why I had trouble with the movie, which is like I don't think is a problem of the movie, because clearly movies like this keep getting made and blah 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 and whatever, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't think that they like did it poorly or anything like that. Like, that's not what I'm saying. It's like, it's literally just me having an aversion to that story. Well, I loved the Terrence Howard and Queen Latifah of it all. Them just kind of like being these like spirits, like Christmas spirits throughout, like kind of like popping up at different times. Like stuff like that is always, huh. I always enjoy stuff like that to me for as hokey as it is. And like like the moment when Terrence Howard just turns over the candy and pours it all over the table and walks away. It's just like, they're just, you know, these two like eternal spirits fucking with each other. So yeah, I mean, you know, that's it. That's all I have to say.
We'll I wanted a movie about them. Is that weird? I was like, I kind of wanted, like, I was like,
so.
They were so interesting to me that I was like, what's their deal?
That is like, true. They were like, very interesting like, in a way them? That you want to see them more, even though, you know, it's like, how much could they possibly be shot like 1 week? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah,
like,
for sure. Yeah.
And I didn't fully get it because like they never explained who they were at all. But at the end, and when I saw the credits, Terrence Howard's character is listed as Bah Humbug. And I was like, oh yeah, that's so fun. And then I was like, I wish they would have said his name at some point because that's so clever.
Yeah.
I mean, there is something to that. I mean, it's a completely different movie if it's like a movie about warring Christmas spirits.
Yes,
like,
true.
The spirit, like the joy of Christmas battling Bah Humbug, you know, but it
Low
was
key,
fun.
Guys, we should write that. That's a good movie.
Yeah, the sequel to this movie that it has a 90% on.
No, it'd be a whole different movie, James. Jeez.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying about the lie. I usually don't like those kinds of things. And even in this, there were certain aspects where I was like, what are you... I don't even understand why you're lying. It, like, it's such a soft lie to me in this film.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so instead of a person who sells office supplies, you're a mall Santa. And it's like, I guess like a mall Santa can be seen as like a much less prestigious job, but it's like, you know, like she's not dating you because you sell office supplies. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
your career has so little to do with like your relationship that it just is. And like even the idea that it's like, well, I'm getting this information from this little girl, which I guess is the biggest thing about it, which is somewhat interesting. But like by the time he wants to lie to her, she's only visited him twice. The first time, he just did what she asked to, like, and like that's a super sweet, incredibly, you know what I mean? Like, he just happened upon her, remembered what this daughter said, and like did the thing that his daughter said. Like, if he told that exact story how it was, she would be like, that is so sweet. You're one of the kindest men. You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, that's not a mark against you. Anyway, whatever. But to me, this movie was so inoffensive. And I think that's why I like. And it was just like, okay, it's a holiday movie. It's just like fun and silly. There are enough fun moments for me. Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. But sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
This episode is brought to you by the new Disney Plus original series, American Born Chinese. Based on the graphic novel by Jean Luen Yang, American Born Chinese tells the story of an average teenager that becomes entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. This star-studded cast includes Academy Award winners Michelle Yeoh and Ki Hoi Kwan, plus Daniel Wu, Jim Leo, and Ben Wang. American Born Chinese, premiering May 24, exclusively on Disney Plus.
But yeah, let's start. Let's talk, because it starts with Queen Latifah. You know,
it's like her, Morris Chestnut
setting up
Terrence.
The story.
You know what you're doing? You eating dirt.
Yeah, Terrence Howard's behind her.
You eating dirt, man.
So funny.
That was so funny. Do you know the definition of a snowflake is a crystallized structure that forms around dirt? You're eating dirt.
And she's like,
she's like, it tastes like buttermilk and oh my happiness.
I felt like even right now thinking about it, I felt like this is so cute, but no, y'all shouldn't be. I felt like y'all shouldn't be doing this. I felt like, oh no.
When she looked at the camera,
what's funny
I was like,
is I had the opposite feeling. I was like, this is such a fun little part for these two to like
it's silly.
It felt so, they're like playing like little spirit.
Right.
Like that's so
right.
Cool.
I just was instantly like, no, Queen. No, Queen, don't do this.
What's the point of this opening though? Like, cause the money flies away. What's the point of this was for, did they make the money fly away so that we can see that, like, okay, once he got the money back, all he ended up doing with it was giving it to other people instead of buying his hot dog or whatever it was that he was trying to. Yeah. But, like, that they did it, right? Like, that it was something that Mrs. Christmas did or whatever.
I think so.
You know?
I think so.
Because that was such a weird... He follows that money floating for so long. It just it goes on for... So I'm just looking for deeper meaning.
And I didn't know that it was necessarily connected to their characters, but I guess that could make sense. Or maybe it's like Bah Humbug is the one who made it fly away because he wanted to ruin his day, but then it turned into him doing an act of kindness.
Yeah, something positive.
All right, I got to be real. All right, I watched this movie. I fell asleep.
Uh-oh.
I woke up, rewinded it to where I thought I missed it. And I started watching again, but then I dozed off.
Oh my goodness.
Draw hasn't seen it, but has fully proclaimed that he did not.
No, because technically I watched it like three times because every time I fell asleep, I had to go back. And I'm pretty sure every time I went back further.
Technically, you watched a couple parts multiple times, but not the whole movie.
But the thing that scares me about that is before we got to do the podcast, I had just finished it. And I was like, I don't remember what happens here. Like, I was like, nothing stuck with me where I was like,
this was a funny moment.
The first 30 minutes of this were really like, okay. Like, I was like, I don't. But as the movie really gets into it.
The actors were so good, though. I just felt bad.
We get Charlie Murphy, you know, as a rapper.
Yo, those songs.
With these songs.
I'm so mad I didn't write down any of those lyrics.
It was like, I don't need. He said something like, I don't need gifts, just 6 reindeer with 22 rims. And like, I was just like, it's like, almost like, wait, what? I did think it was funny that he said with 22 rims, because around this time, there were 2 different songs about that. And the songs were just the inches of the rims that the songs were talking about. Like,
yeah, yeah.
24s.
Yeah. And then there was another song with rims that was the same. It was like, I was like,
was this around? No, that wasn't 3-6, the Rotten Spinners. Was it Rotten Spinners? We're riding spinners. We're riding spinners.
Spinners, we're riding 24s spinners. Was that 3-6?
That was T.I.
Was T.I. Yeah. No, and I think,
yeah.
I feel like who else had the song about rims?
Riding.
Was it 22s? Was it? Catalog on 22.
Yeah, it's 3-6. Riding spinners.
Yeah, but that was 2000, so that was too early.
Well, there was Cadillac on 22s by David Banner. That came out 2003. And then was there another one?
I mean, listen, we got everything. We got like sneakers. You know how we do.
Right. Them Franchise Boys, didn't they sing a freaking Rim song? All right. I'll find it.
Didn't everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody did. Like, Still Fly has a Rims
lyric. Okay, right. They did. They had a song called Riding Rims. Anyway, it was like,
well, this is very, it gave me Love Actually vibes, you know, of just like he's putting out a very crappy Christmas album. What I liked about it was that there were so many that we got to hear at least, I want to say, 3 songs from him. That was like so fun, just hearing different takes on Christmas songs.
Melissa said that Chingy had 26s. I mean, it's so
26 inch rims.
Chingy had 26s.
Mm-hmm. Good God, that's so intense.
Where are we? I don't remember the. I literally just watched this film and I don't remember the order. I just remember we get the kids.
Yeah,
wait, go ahead, James. You remember the order?
Well, no. I was going to say the beginning of this is fuzzy for me too. So like, I don't remember the order either. I just know we like
they show.
After we get what's his name?
Morris and Donald Faye and Faye's on love. We get them outside. Also, this movie, the amount of freaking food and fat jokes in this movie is another one of these things where I'm just like, guys, this is so lazy. Yeah. His whole character.
They had him putting on the Santa costume. And the Santa and the fat belly, suit. And it was just like,
what?
We didn't need.
Confusing. I was like, why is he putting on this. The fat suit? It's not funny. It's not funny for him to do something that truly makes like no sense. Like, come up with the thing, a believable situation, and then derive the comedy from that. Don't just say it would be funny to see a large person put on a fat suit like that.
Yeah, like even have a manager or something say you gotta wear, if you're gonna do it, you gotta wear the,
I did,
you know, like you gotta wear the thing.
I did like the guy. I did like they're all going crazy and the woman keeps bumping him and like his chicken keeps flying and he's like, get off me. There was something about that was fun.
I never took Charlie Murphy as a serious, like, the movie looks so cheap. I'm sorry, I don't think I can get past the look. Like when he shows up, I was like, this is what the rich dude looks like. And then like Morris looked,
I mean, yeah,
just as rich. Like the way he was styled, I was like,
yeah, no,
I don't feel like this dude is down and out. Right. Like,
nah. He never looked like a person whose job was a freaking mall Santa.
To only be a mall like Santa?
I was like, dude.
And that's why there's the confusion up top. Like, that's why there's the misunderstanding that he's this mall Santa, because he looks like, you know, and that's a part of
like Morris Chestnut.
It's a very movie
part
thing.
Of the trick.
Oh, he looking like Morris Chestnut. Could you imagine your name being like the sign? You know, when like someone shoots, I guess when we were growing up, someone would shoot a paper ball into a trash can and you would yell Kobe, like that's, or do a one-handed catch when playing football and be like Moss. I remember there was a time where like people would say Morris Chestnut and that was just the name for handsome man. Oh, Morris Chestnut looking ass. Like that was just the thing you would do. Like, could you imagine just being the staple for handsomeness?
Yeah.
That must be nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, come on. Must be nice. Yeah, must be.
What they call him? Well, at one point, they didn't talk about his skin color. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. So I'm jumping.
Oh, that's when he's wearing this nice, really nice sweater and the Kangol hat. And they're like, look at him. Like, and he's like, he's got that caramel looking sweater. Yeah. He looks like cookies and cream.
Yeah, he's like, you know, like, we say he look like,
that's better than
like black coffee, and everybody love black coffee, some shit like that.
Yeah. He look like a coffee bean.
That's a thing that I'm only thinking now after the fact, but because the deceit of it all bothered me, I almost wish that he would have known early on that Gabrielle Union was this guy's ex. Because then maybe part of the lie or the withholding of that information is out of like, oh, fear that he's going to seem thirsty or that he's like, he's here for a different reason or that, like, you know, so he just completely hides that, which I don't know, like that ring, that feels like that puts some stakes to what the lie is or like why he might be lying.
Maybe we should just end the podcast now. I don't want to keep talking about this movie. I liked it.
No. You know? How dare you?
I just say the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, uh-oh. And so I just feel like maybe we should just end it now.
No, you don't.
No, it's like, it's nice in my head. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not gonna talk bad about the movie.
I had a nice time. And by the time it was done, it was like, cool. There were just some things about it that I didn't.
I'm not going to talk bad, Bray. This movie.
Well, the kids, I mean, look, okay, let's set up the kids because they had they're very clear characters, okay? That's not always true in movies. Yes, they don't always give kids clear, right?
That's
so
true.
So you got the oldest kid, the oldest boy. He
just wants
his name
dad
is John
back.
John. And he wants his dad back, and you could tell he's upset. He's upset about the idea that his mom might move on. He believes that his dad will show up. You know, even when he keeps getting disappointed, he's like sticking up for him. He really wants a good connection with his dad. You got the middle child who actually wants a connection with his brother. Mm-hmm. He wants his brother to see him as cool. So that's why he's trying to copy him, you know. And then you got the little girl who's really connected to her mom. She wants her mom to be happy. Okay. And so she winds up making a wish to a mall Santa that says, I just want my mom to have a compliment, because she overhears her mom saying that all she wants is she just wants a compliment. She just wants somebody to come with a compliment, not try to sleep with her, not try to get her number, just compliment her and walk away. And you know what?
That's real.
I'm here to say that men would like that too. Okay? I'm just saying, you know, it would be nice that every now and then, you know, a woman would come and just give a compliment and then walk away and not say anything. And then
I just feel like you're taking the wrong message from this. Like,
no, I'm saying I want that for women and I want that for men. And it could be same gender compliments. That's cool too. Just walk away after.
Yeah, it's just a compliment. Just, yeah, you know what? I think people at
it
large.
It would be nice. I wish
love.
We lived in a world in which men didn't ruin that so that, you know what I mean? Other men didn't ruin that so that, because there are times where I'm like, I see somebody wearing a cool like hat or whatever, like something like, I'm like, oh, that looks really cool. And I want to compliment them, but I'm like, this is going to be weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're going to think I'm doing something that I'm not really trying to do. And so I don't say
it. Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, he's going to do something strange to me. Mm? That's a call back to our Friday After Next episode.
We didn't need that.
Yeah, we did. But for the listeners that want some continuity.
I'm just saying. It's continuity. It's so such a sad. How many times do you think people think about a compliment and they don't say it? You know what I mean? We could be getting compliments all the time.
All the time. I think honestly, about compliments all the time. I rarely compliment anybody.
I grew up around like my family was mainly women, and it was like I used to hear the complaint that she Gabrielle Union has in this, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna do it. I don't want anyone to be offended. And like I have a hard time even saying like that dress looks beautiful because I don't want that to be like, you know, flirty or so. Kind of shield away from all of it, but I think that also messes up so many other things in my life. So it's like it's just that weird thing. Maybe Bray, we should compliment people. You know, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
You know, hey, that outfit looks cool. I just keep it moving. I like that.
The only time I ever feel confident enough to do it is when I see another person with like curly hair. I sometimes would be like, nice hair, you know, because it's like, oh, we both have curly hair, so it's okay to say. But, you know, it would be nice. The world would be a lot nicer if we could all just get a little compliment. I'm with Gabrielle Union on this, is what I'm saying.
I actually respect that. I actually get that, man. Because you know what it is? It just shows kindness to others. It's hard for me sometimes when it's like, oh, yeah, that little thing goes a long way because you have no clue how someone's day was going. And it could like make or break it, you know? It could like change everything. But also it means you're just trying to be kind with other people, which I think people don't do that often, so.
Oh, man.
Man, this movie has no, like, you know how, like, Wikipedia usually, like, says a little bit of something about, you know, like, the production or whatever? This movie has none of that. It's Wikipedia.
They're trying to erase it from the internet.
Yeah. So, you know, basically we get this setup where, like, those are the kids. Their dad's supposed to come pick them up. He doesn't show up. And then we see Morris Chestnut and Faison. They're working at the mall. And then it's played for comedic effect that like Morris Chestnut is the Santa. And Faison at some point is like, shouldn't I be the Santa? And he's like, no, you don't got a lap. Which I didn't. I was like, is
I don't
that
even know what that means.
Belly is so
oh,
big
is that what that means?
Hurt? Yeah, it's confusing, but yes, I believe so, because that when they cut to him as Santa,
the kids like falling off him.
The kids slide off his lap.
I had no idea what
and
that
it's
meant.
Like, but wait a minute, but isn't the whole like if we're talking about Santa, it is in the Santa lore that Santa is a chubby,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like
he has an amount of weight to him. He is rotund, you know, and so then for it to be like, oh, we're making
didn't make any sense.
But the joke is, but you don't have.
It was a bad joke. It was a bad joke that didn't land.
But they called it back.
Oh yeah, they
baby.
Did. I was confused. I didn't realize sometimes jokes are so offensive and random that I'm like, what is this even doing? Who is this for?
Truly, who was that for?
It's like, who is this? And it's a Christmas movie. It's like, be nice.
But then, so they're at the mall, and yeah, like we said, the little girl comes over and she's asked for the compliment, and he's like, okay, that's so nice. Cause at the end, they're like, all the kids were bad except for this one little girl who all she wanted was something for her mom. She just wanted her mom to give a compliment. And then Faison was like, oh yeah, was her mom fine? And he goes, she was one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. And then he looks at him like, why'd you say it like that? Why you say it all nice and respectful like that? I don't like that. And then they run into her at a coffee shop. I mean, I'm trying to think of what. Oh my goodness! Because we had that scene where he's like, "Give me your jacket," and he starts taking the stuff out of his jacket, and it's just like,
oh, snacks,
a bunch of food.
Man, Bray, you want to keep reviewing this? Because I feel like this may be just as bad as Friday After Next when it comes to fat jokes. Like, and it's a holiday
movie.
When it
comes
movie.
To fat jokes, for sure. They're nonstop fat jokes. In fact, one of her friends, he goes, the kid says, who are you? And he says, I am Santa's number one elf. And the friend says, looks like more like number 1 through 10. And I was like, this is a man that you don't
looks
know.
More like number who's just 1 doing through his job. 10.
He's just working. He's dressed up as an elf for kids, and you coming at him 1 through 10. Damn. What was that about?
That kid just had that on deck.
Also like, no, it wasn't a kid who said it. It was a grown adult.
It was a grown adult man.
It's so funny. Yeah. I watched this movie.
Why'd she say that? That was so rude.
We was a bunch of assholes.
How you just gonna be saying that to some random person you don't know?
Bunch of assholes.
I was like, oh my God. It was so mean. And then they wind up being together. I'm pretty sure it's the woman that winds up being with him.
Right. And that's why, right? That's what they, because they were like, all right, cool. We're going to start with there's derision.
Also,
like she's going to say.
Completely unbelievable. It's somewhat believable that they never recognized Morris Chestnut. It's completely unbelievable they never recognize Faison as this elf.
Right, because he doesn't have a mask. He has nothing on covering any part of
He's got like green eyebrows or something. And it's like, I'm like, this dude, come on now.
The kids also never recognize what's his name's voice. And he doesn't change his voice as Santa. He doesn't like do a...
I think we're supposed to believe he's supposed to be.
But also as kids,
like,
you don't know. I feel like the kids wouldn't notice. I feel like they...
Does the actor do it? No. Yeah, the kids wouldn't notice. Kids are dumb.
Does the act...
Oh, man, that movie... Also... Okay. So, all right. You know what, Brad? I'm not gonna make fun of the movie. I will say the thing I did like about this movie, though, is did like Gabrielle Union's portrayal, because I think sometimes in these movies, the mom is almost so disheveled, and like she was, but like she wasn't being rescued by anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, she did drop her cordless phone in a pot of sauce.
I mean,
because her kid said, "Mom." Right. And she went, ah!
Right. They were just trying to show, like, my mom had three kids that she raised, you know, by herself. And it was just that thing of like, you know, yeah, we just trying. She got her stuff together, but like three kids is a lot. Shit
did
is
your
crazy.
Mom ever
you know,
drop
like,
a
they were, like,
phone
just trying
in a pot of sauce?
I'm sure if cell phones was around, she would have done. Pot of sauce.
James, you're older than cell phones?
If at the age of these kids, yeah. Yes.
No. Now I'm making funny because I was like, you're supposed to lie and be like, nah, they weren't out yet because you was too young. You just making us sound old.
Well, they were out. They were out. It just
I was trying to make you younger.
Like, you know, my mom was
trying to make you like a Gen Zer, a baby millennial. You know, like a
Gen Zer.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to get you at that borderline.
No, I'm okay.
A millennial, baby.
I'm okay. No disrespect to the Gen Zs. No disrespect, but I'm okay.
I straight up disrespect y'all. Ain't none of y'all got nothing on millennials.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know we were in
no,
a fight.
No one cares. We all just don't like the boomers. That's the thing.
No. No, we sometimes,
and we all
sometimes the internet
forget about the Gen Xers.
Oh yeah.
We all forget about them.
Oh my gosh, that's so real.
Sometimes it be the Gen Z millennial wars on
Nah, man. I will say
Twitter.
I think about this movie. I wish there were more Terrence Howard, Queen Latifah moments. So I know they pop in, but it was like, I do think they were very entertaining. And now this movie was serious, because it wasn't, but I think this movie could have used, honestly, more of them. And also, I like that they went against type, but I kind of feel like Cat Williams and Charlie Murphy should have switched roles a little bit.
It's so crazy. I had that same thought. And then I was like, so then, but then I started thinking, all right, well, what do we gain from it being this? And I imagine it's what? It's like, it's that they were like, well, the only thing I can think of is like, they have a physical difference between each other. And then also their personas are a little bit different. And maybe they just wanted like the like rapper or whatever. And like an assist, you know, big rapper and like little assistant or, you know,
I think that's a huge part of it. I think it's also like Charlie, we are supposed to look at Charlie Murphy as someone who people admire in a real way and not a fake way. Mm-hmm. Like Cat Williams would have been a little more like Napoleon complex, you know?
Oh yeah, good point.
I think, I mean, I don't know if Charlie Murphy never necessarily like pulls off exactly what he's supposed to be. But I think that's one of the reasons. I actually really liked Cat Williams in this kind
role.
It was so different. Even though he like doesn't get as much comedic moments maybe as maybe he would have if he was Charlie Murphy's character, I just feel like there was something about it that felt, it was different, it felt nice. Like I feel like it could have been, I wonder if it was nice for him, like, because he did like soft improv, you know, like even like like when they like, this is skipping ahead, but like when they're at the studio and Morris Chestnut like knocks over the fruit and he goes, oh, not the fruit. All right. Just pick up the ones that's already laying on top of each other.
Yes.
Right. The ones that laid on top.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, that's
also
a good
one. That whole sequence is just a series of
yeah. Diarrhea just creep up on you sometimes, I guess.
It just keep, you know, knowing it's gonna come up on you.
Yeah, it's just little moments of him being either fully blindsided by something or left alone and talking to himself. It's so funny.
But also, you know what it is? I like seeing that part of Cat, because to see him still be funny without having to do like a Cat Williams stick, it's still so good to see, because I feel like sometimes they always try to box comedians in so heavy. So like when they try to just be more subtle, like people are like, ah, but they're not funny, not serious. And even thinking about him in Atlanta, he was still funny, but he was so reserved at the same time. Man, I like Cat.
Yeah.
Like, love him. We need more Cat Williams, man. I'm closer.
Draws, for the listener, sometimes talks into his microphone like this.
Sometimes he talks over here like that.
Sometimes, because you know, sometimes I'm deep in thought, you know, and I'm like,
he's thinking over here.
I look over into the sunset. I got to make sure when I look over into the sunset, I bring it back and don't talk in the sunset. You know what I mean?
Look over into the sunset.
You know, I got to bring it back.
The window is behind
James,
you.
That's
bro.
Not the point, okay? That's not.
James, the listener didn't know that. Why you got to blow up his spot?
That's not the point.
I mean, I'm saying, I thought the point of this was blowing up the spot.
I did right like I the moment attacked. Where Gabrielle Union goes, he comes in and gives her a compliment and leaves, and she turns to the the clerk at the laundromat and is like, he just said I'm attractive, right? And the guy goes, he's like, he said I'm attractive. And he goes, okay.
Yeah. He was so like, and then when the friends right. came back in, you don't know who he's he is. Like, I just got this bag. I got a stinky coat. Like, he gave no fucks about
he's like, he's never been here.
He's like, I don't know him.
I love that didn't tip them off that like there was something up with this. Also, I think the most insane thing in this whole movie to me, honestly, was they're at a start. First of all, they go overboard with this, trying to find this dude, and they're like, they decide to sit at the Starbucks near the dry cleaners just so that they can maybe run into him again. And they're sitting, and they don't know that he was at the Starbucks. Remember, she saw him at the dry cleaners. So they're just sitting in this Starbucks waiting. And then one of the friends sees Faizad, and they go, look! And she goes, that's not him. And he goes, I know, but a big guy, big jacket? I was like, what? No way.
I mean, the Cleaners was nearby.
Biggest stretch. Big guy, big jacket?
They were doing some, you know, real investigative work, Bray. I mean, I'm like, what do you mean?
Like, oh, so this must not have been his jacket. So I'm like, so if you are already in the mindset thinking he came into this dry cleaners with his friend's jacket,
yeah,
then where is your mind go from friend, there?
Yeah.
The friend must be specifically that guy.
And
right
then
there in front
and
of
then
me.
They find out that they're right.
Yeah.
Because she goes to the dry cleaner and she says, are you the friend of the guy? And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm trying to get my back jacket. So she knows that's his jacket. Then aren't they going to go, so what was this? Was this a whole ploy to just talk to me? You know, like there's no, yeah. It's
and,
never
and correct
up.
Me if I'm wrong, but there's not enough. There also isn't any acknowledgement of like Queen Latifah or Terrence Howard helping to orchestrate these
run-ins.
Were
they supposed to be?
Right?
Well, I'm...
Well,
yeah. What do you mean by that?
I feel like that's hovering over the whole movie, right? Like, over the whole movie...
They're part of this connection.
Mrs. Christmas and Bah Humbug. Yeah. But, like, there isn't something that's like, all right, like there aren't little things of, like, them bumping into them so that they see the Starbucks. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no... It just feels like for these things that are all like so wonderfully coincidental, but like in a world where there's all this magic, like you can clean this up a little bit or justify this a little bit more just by even just having Queen Latifah walk by them while they're here. You,
you
know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like yeah. Yeah, because for as illogical as all of that is, or everything that's happening, it's just like, yeah, you can just, all you have to do is snap, literally have one of them snap their fingers and it's fine.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, I get what you're saying. It could be like, we kind of made this weird scenario happen.
Well, but that is right? Like, isn't that, or are they just watching? Are they watchers or do they meddle? You know?
Good point. The problem is, James, anyway, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, they do. They definitely meddle.
I don't care what they do anymore. Yeah. Like, I legit,
I mean,
at this point,
yeah,
I'm like,
it doesn't really matter.
I almost legitimately at one point forgot they were in this movie.
Well, they disappear for large swaths of time.
Yeah, I was like, what? I got to deal with these kids?
How about the moment where Terrence Howard is a kid?
Wait, what?
And he's like, I got to go dookie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was... Listen, he committed to that.
I felt so bad.
I was like, my man was like, yeah, what a kid's got to do? Dookie. And he chews the words, you know what I'm saying? Like
have
he
we
really
talked
commits,
about-
and he's on his knees like Martin Lawrence's character, and he got the snot note. Like, he's just... What's his name? Rodney?
Is it Rodney? Name? I was just watching Martin, actually.
It might not be. Martin. Hold on. It doesn't matter, but...
Oh, I already looked this up the other day. Martin characters. Hilarious. Roscoe. Wow.
All right.
It's that so funny because at one point I was just like... I know we've talked about it before the many times, but it's like every time it's time for us to review a black movie. I feel like it's normally a holiday movie, but it's always, you know, like why are we regulated to like the holidays for some reason? And I was watching this movie and in my mind, I was thinking, oh, because they can be so cheap, you don't have to pay anybody. But now knowing this was $20 million, I was like, oh, people got paid, you know? So that's good. I don't know. I don't want to diss this movie because I like everybody in it. I think this is the time where it's hard to review these movies.
Most holiday movies aren't great, you know?
That's true. And you know what? Maybe there's so much pressure. Maybe it's just so many of them are maybe recognizing that we do so many movies, there's so much pressure, but maybe I'm thinking too much into it.
I mean, the fact that there were two in one year is kind of wild to me. And this one wasn't a family one either, so it's even harder. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there was like technically family in it, but like not really. And it was soft. It was like not really saying much.
Yeah.
The other ones, like, I feel like try to come with a little bit more of a, like, a message, like an overall message. But, like, what, like, outside of, like, Charlie Murphy, like, not spending time with his kids, which he doesn't ever really learn a lesson. Like, he doesn't, at the end of the movie, he's still the same guy.
Yeah.
And he says,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's a, that last scene. It's weird. That last scene with him and the, and his son both felt very real to me. Like, it felt mm-hmm. like this person would say that to the son and that the son would find hope in that. And yet it wasn't happy. Like, it was actually sad because he was just continuing
yeah.
to not show up for his kid and then saying, like, but you know, I still love you and your mom, right? And like, and like, and then excusing his horrible behavior and then not mm-hmm. doing anything about it. And then the kid gets another little, just little morsel of hope that his dad is actually cares about him when, like, in reality, his dad is like, doesn't really care about him. So it was weird because it was played as a happy scene, even though the reality of it was sad to me, you know?
Yeah.
And yet I was like, but this is also kind of real. Anyway.
No, that's
so
real.
Yeah. What's the moral of this? Like, what, like, that's the other thing that I didn't, because they have these little spirit characters and they're doing, like, they're like trying, and like she says, like, Queen Latifah says at the beginning, the, like, the perfect holiday is when, like, the family all, like, comes together or something like that. But, like, it didn't feel like either Gabrielle Union or Morris Chestnut's character, it didn't feel like either of their characters was, like, contending with not believing in family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, usually they're, like, it's, like, a person, you'll have a character who's, like, I'm never getting married because, like, the reality is, like, all women want is your money or something, right? Or, like, the woman's like, all men are freaking dogs and all they care about is, like, sex. And so I'm not going to ever be with the man. Like, I'm done with men. And he's like, I'm done with women. And then they find that each other, right? Like, there's that kind of thing. We didn't get that at all. Like, they both just really always liked each other. And everything was good. And the only, like, weird thing was that he was getting information from the daughter.
Yeah, because yeah. he was carrying on this lie that he
but
didn't
yet,
need
by
to.
That time, here's the thing that's so funny about it is that he didn't need it because even by the time that they're giving more information than he would know, he could have just had a conversation with the kid. Like, she goes, like, she's like, oh, John hates me, and goes, oh, did he say something to you? And he's like, no, not exactly. Like, I know. But, like, he could have just had that conversation with John. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel like he was necessarily doing anything wrong other than, I guess, doing this lie about what he did for work, which, again, didn't feel like it affected the relationship because relationship wasn't, you know, based on him working at being an office supplies person.
I thought the twist was going to be she was going to think he was using her to get close to her husband, and then that was going to be the
Me
big
too.
Thing. But she didn't find out until the last scene,
and it didn't matter.
That's what I'm saying,
you know, and by the time
it
she
didn't
found,
matter, it was inconsequential.
By the time she found out, it could have even been what actually I would have thought if I was her. By the time she found out, wasn't that he was using her. I would have just thought, oh, you always knew who my husband was, and you just didn't want to tell me what you really did because you work with my husband. That's what I would have thought.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the lot, like what you just said, Gerard, like that, and I think James, you were kind of alluding to that too earlier. Like that makes way more sense and is way more dramatic of a movie. For it to have been him at first using her to get to her husband, it works. Yeah. But then he actually falls in love with her.
Yeah, that would have been a different movie. But you know what, Bray? Remember, you like this one.
Yeah.
Well, this one is more kind. This one, see, they didn't do that movie though because they wanted him to be really good, always kind of good, and never really have much of a flaw. And same with her. And that is what we got. We got a very happy movie where everybody's like. Except for, like, Charlie Murphy is the one clear bad guy, and everybody else is good.
That's a good point. That's so crazy, though. It's like,
Wait, they didn't do this, right? But when Charlie Murphy fires Cat Williams, he doesn't go, he doesn't say like, okay, fine, I'm going to sign.
Yeah, no, he does. Chestnut. I mean, he doesn't say it in the moment.
He does that.
He doesn't say it in the moment. It's just that literally after Charlie Murphy leaves, he comes out and he says, hey, I just got fired. I'm going to need a new talent to write new songs. Okay. Anybody interested? And then they look at each other and kiss. Yeah. So you're like, all right, well now everybody has a happy, and now he's going to be able to not just be a ghostwriter for Charlie Murphy. He's going to have his own recording album or whatever. And that's what he always wanted, which is also, I mean, this movie is like, tells you things about characters that I, you know, you don't fully believe, you know. I mean, Morris Chestnut's on a wall stand, and nor is he a songwriter. I don't believe any of those.
First off, the fact that they made—I have a hard time when they take people who are really, really attractive and try to make it like their life is not that. Like I like what they did with Gabriel Union, where it's like, yo, people only talk to me because they're trying to hit on me or something like that. That I get. But when we're looking at Morris Chestnut, and he's supposed to be like this, like kind of moungy. Like he even said at one point, I'm supposed to tell her I'm a, he was talking to Donald Faison in his apartment. I'm like a music writer. Like, he didn't say shyster, but like he tried to like make it like he was like this kind of really grimy dude. And I was like, no, you're not, man. You're wearing like I don't even know what the hat is, but that hat looks, that's a classy nigga hat. Like, what do you mean? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah. But the idea, right, is that if he's a mall Santa, then throughout the rest of the year, he's doing just only odd seasonal jobs here and there, you know, so they like have to incorporate that because he's not doing anything else. Like, we don't see him doing any other job except this, so it's like, oh, then how does he make like, that's the only reason they say,
but we
they
never
say all that
see
other
him
stuff.
Just, actually like struggling with money
at
any point
or paying for the dates. I thought he was gonna be like, well, I can't pay for this date, we gotta run, you know, or like,
and she's rich, and he doesn't even come into her house and go,
damn,
what did your ex-husband do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's no, like, are you a high-powered attorney? Like, how do you own this mansion of a home? Like, their home is very, very nice. And he doesn't bring it up at all. So, you know, it's fine. Again, like I said, let's not think about it.
I liked the series of pranks, the series of pranks and stuff. But why my man pull out Wonder
Fucking
Bread
disgusting.
From the back of his
disgusting.
Trunk and then eat the bread
of his terrible crappy car? That was disgusting. Yeah. I thought he was taking out the bread to just scoop up to clean the seat, and I was like, "That's an interesting."
Yeah. I knew he was going to eat it. I was like,
to clean the seat.
You nasty man. I also thought like those pranks were cool, but then I was like, this feels random. And I like, at that point I was like, Tony Lee, what is this movie? Like, I was like, Tony Lee, what is happening here? Guess it didn't matter.
Fun Hallmark.
Yeah, it didn't matter. But
I knew what it was, totally. It was a it was a TV movie that just happened to be released on the big screen. Holidays.
Yeah.
I don't have anything good or bad to say about how I mean, we had options, you know. We had options in 27. Was it 2007? Yeah, you know.
I was waiting for a moment where I was gonna cry, and it didn't happen.
No, Bray. No,
because the end. We didn't say this, but the end. It was a little anticlimactic because the kid runs away. I like this whole bit in the mall. That was kind of fun with Terrence Howard being like, "We're closed."
Yeah,
and just walking away, and then Queen Latifah letting her in.
Where's Santa? Santa's dead.
Santa's dead. That's what it was.
So rude.
That was hilarious. Santa's dead. I like this whole bit, and then the conversation he has with Morris Chestnut. But then it didn't quite make sense to me that all of these police would show up at this event.
It wouldn't happen. He's been gone for 10 minutes.
Why at the event? Like, you know, like, it doesn't, it's like, why did they come up to the event like there was somebody being held hostage? Like, that didn't make sense. And then it was even more, I mean, the way that the kid got on the tree was ridiculous. And then it was even more unbelievable that this kid is hanging from a Christmas tree and everybody's staring and looking up acting as if there's a gun pointed to his head by a madman who will shoot at any moment. Because that's how they acted. They were all frozen in fear. Instead of going, okay, a bunch of us, let's get under this tree in case he falls. Another bunch of us, let's go up, you know, and try to get this kid. It was like the fact that Morris Chestnut was the only one and they were all like, uh-oh, like he was like about to jump from a ledge. You know what I mean? Like he was a suicidal like jumper. Like that's how they were acting. And I was like, I have to believe that this mom is like, oh, do something. I'm like, she wouldn't ask her husband to do something. She would be, come on now.
She would have been climbing up the tree.
She would have climbed up the tree.
Doing something like not just standing. Charlie Murphy didn't move. Charlie Murphy didn't, that's her whole son.
He's the only character who I believe wouldn't move. He's the one, everybody, even the spectators, I'm just like, I don't care, this is not your boy. Like, there's nobody. The cops are literally standing there. Like, what do we do?
But I feel like what really should have happened is, like, while he's up there hanging, you just hear, like, I got your kid. And then a basketball hurls up. And then the kid grabs onto the basketball. Then he flies off with the basketball, flies off. And lands on the ledge. He's like, Steel's just here to, it's just here to help. He's here to help.
Why is Steel not? Can he not speak?
Here to help.
Appropriate. Like, does he?
I'm just here. I'm just. Here
have
to
a speak.
Help.
Okay.
And then Cat Williams is like,
wow, that's amazing. Do you have any trap beats that you want to just, or a mixtape? You trying
stop
to?
Stop this.
All right. Can you give
Brain,
me a
what are you doing, man? Are you unfocused? Are you not?
Shaq's like,
all right, like, enough said. In this show, we. What's your transition?
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
It's time for the cause. We rate and review films, not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. Dude. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Yeah.
On the count of three, we're going to raise our ratings for the perfect holiday. Okay. The
perfect holiday.
Ready?
Yep.
One.
Shit.
Two. Three.
What?
Wow.
Two white palms and nothing.
No, break it. I mean, James gave it a fist.
No, I gave it, no.
Oh, you gave it a fist?
I gave it a fist. You couldn't see.
Oh, it's off my screen.
I gave it a fist.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I gave it a fist. Here's why. I'll go first. I gave it a fist because I know the movie made $5.2 million. So I know I know it didn't make any money, but I was like, you know what? They spent $20 million on this movie. And I think that that is important. Like, I think that, like, they put a lot of money behind this movie, starring a bunch of black people. Did we already say, was it written and directed by black people? I can't remember now. But the fact that they put that money into this movie, and it, you know, starts the careers of these young black actors who are all, they're all, or at least two of them are still acting. I didn't look up one of them doesn't have a picture on IMDb, so that makes me think that he's not still acting. But the other two are, for that reason, I gave it a fist. I understand why y'all gave it a palm, but I just think that, like, I know it didn't make money, but they put so much money into it. Like, that, yeah. I want Hollywood to be taking these chances, taking chances like this on movies with black
I gave
people.
It a palm because it just felt real palm-like. You know, it just felt like, that's a palm. Like, I don't have a good reason. Like, this feels like real palm-like, you know what I mean? That's how I felt about it, so... That's what it got. Bray, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I give it a palm because, you know, look, there's a bunch of black actors in this movie, like, including Gabrielle Union. I think this is a good movie for a lot of those actors, but did it really move the needle on their career much? Well, no, not really, because it was a bust out at the box office, and very few people saw it, and the people who did really didn't like it. So, you know, it's hard to give it a fist. Anyway. Perfect holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Happy holidays, everyone. Happy holidays.
Oh, yeah. Happy holidays.
This is the Christmas episode, right?
This is the Christmas. And also, we're going to be away for a couple of weeks.
Merry Christmas.
Listen.
Merry Christmas.
For the next few weeks, if y'all on Twitter or whatever, or on Instagram, hit me up. I know I asked everybody, what should my bit be? And I tried a couple of them out, and I've been being steel for, I don't know, half a year now, maybe a little bit more. and I wrote down who actually suggested that. I have not said their name on the podcast yet, but I gotta give a shout out to them next time, though.
Have a good new year.
Or we can,
all right, have a good, be safe,
have a happy new year.
Yeah, man. 2022, baby. We out here.
It's gotta be better than 2021, right?
Which is better than 2020,
right?
So it's only going
definitely
up, baby.
Definitely better than 2020.
Listen, I'm not saying nothing about.
You know what? Any right. I don't want to put it in the air, but I'm saying. No. I am going to put it in the air.
I just hope we're hoping for the best. I just wish everybody happiness and healthiness and you know.
Whoever's
and all
listening,
that.
This is your time. You know, if you're not sure, let me say it to you. This is your time. This is your moment. Not saying it's going to be easy, but this is it. Go forth, my friend.
Go for it. So I will let you know that you can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. You can find links to our merchandise at TeePublic. We got t-shirts and stickers and things. We also have a defunct Patreon, a year's worth of episodes. We don't do new episodes anymore. If you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. But since we record it, some of these episodes back to back, we ain't got no new reviews.
Yeah.
So we'll read the net other Uh-oh. Ones in the new year. Thanks so much for listening. Oh, you can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. You can also follow my comic at Rule of Three Comics on Instagram.
Hey, man, you can follow.
Three is the number three. Third is 3RD. Y'all know all this.
Why was that so slow?
That was amazing.
Why was that so slow? Are you done, nigga? You done?
I am. Now,
you can follow me at Gerard. Actually, you know what? No, I'm taking a break for the new year. I'm taking a break from social. I will have Twitter, but I probably won't respond.
As he actively engages with racist trolls on
that, for 2022, I'm taking a break to see if that helps have a more positive aspect on, like, how I see things. You know what I'm saying? So
Okay. Follow James and John. And if you need to talk to me, hit one of them and then they're going to tell me because they got my phone number. So let them know. Hit Brave.
Yeah,
Hit Brave well, is something yeah. like really, really positive so he can know people love me. And if it's something kind of on the cuff, hit James because he always makes it sound better. There we go.
I don't yeah, know make, if I
hit James
with that.
If it's like, ooh, I don't fuck with this dude. Hit James. If you love me, you hit Brave.
I don't know if there I... we go.
All right. Okay. Thank you. We will see you next year.
Wow.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!